another example. Doesn't matter about age, doesn't matter about anything except him. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Isaiah. He had the words of Paul from the New Testament. We're going to go to Isaiah. B.C. read from Nahum earlier, and matter of fact, one of those verses was one of the ones that I looked at here and have with this morning. And very apropos, as God always, you know, we've said that many a time. We never plan. I don't tell the elders what scripture to read. I don't tell the musicians what songs to sing. They don't tell me what to preach. But yet, God takes all of it. And it, you know, it never, I know he's all powerful, but it never ceases to amaze me how he intertwines every bit of it for all of us. The title of the message is Awaiting Renewal. And we are awaiting renewal, each one of us at some point in our lives. And so this morning, looking at Isaiah chapter 40, And renewal is always good because we face adversary in our lives every day. We know, as Paul, the Spirit related to Paul, it is not that we fight against flesh and blood. It may seem that way. We have arguments or whatever with different things and different people, but yet it is not actually flesh and blood that we fight, but powers and principalities. If you believe in angels, you have to believe in demons. I met a fellow last week that said, well, I really don't think there's demons. I said, well, do you believe there's angels? Oh, yeah, there's angels. Then I assure you there's demons. All they are is an evil angel. So, well, I never thought of it that way. It's what God does. There's black and white. There's two sides to a coin. So this morning, if you're able, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You may be seated. Isaiah, the prophet of old, was giving to the Israelites as they had been in Babylon, been taken captivity, and they were very disheartened. And as we have been studying the book of Peter, Peter writes in 1 Peter to those who were in Rome, especially the Christians, as they were being persecuted and put to death. And Nahum, one of the prophets that B.C. read from, he also was bringing to them. And in that, what he read this morning in part of that, notice he said in Nahum 1:3, he said, the Lord is slow to anger. Aren't we thankful for that? He said he's slow to anger and he has power. He is all power and all knowing. And so here we come in Isaiah with that background of also of the prophet Nahum. And everything you find in the Bible always fits together because he's a single author. There may have been 66 books. There may have been 40 different writers. But the author is God himself, his Holy Spirit. And he says here, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord. You know, I always think back, oftentimes people say, well, I'm agnostic. I don't know if there is a God or not. Paul himself, when he was Saul, you know, he has a miraculous testimony, but each one of us has a testimony as well, and nobody can take it away from it because it's ours. Jesus Christ makes it personal how he comes to you and how you come to know him. So the one thing they can say you're wrong about everything else, but they never say you're wrong about your testimony because it belongs only to you. But Paul's testimony and his conversion and meeting with Christ, there on that Damascus road, you know, he immediately, as you read that in that account of Acts, he comes and he's stricken blind. And he says, Lord, what would you have to do with me? He knew immediately who it was. There wasn't a question. It wasn't, who are you and why am I blind? It was, Lord, what would you have of me? He knew immediately that that's who it was. Those who have died and gone away, even those who are considered themselves atheists, I assure you, the first thing that happened in heaven when they met our Lord was, oh my God, he said, that's right. You got it. There is a God. And yes, Deanna, he is coming again. As sure as he arrived on this earth one time before as a baby, he will come back as a full-grown man and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we look to that time. He says, the creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor is weary. You know, we all get tired. I worked on some stuff yesterday, and at the end of the day, yesterday evening, I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm just wore out. And then I kind of looked at the clock and went, 10:30 at night when I finished up. I said, well, that's a 12-hour day. Been out here in the sun and everything else. We get weary. We get weary oftentimes, you know, I get kind of tickled at old Herman there. He said, I quit watching the news and I feel better. We do. We get weary just with the things in life. You know, we get tired. And it's a constant barrage and a beating of this life. God allows us to have that because of the fact that our faith is renewed and grows, what Marcus is talking about this morning. He says that we go through the trials and tribulations. It's just like lifting weights or doing anything. You actually tear it down in order for it to grow. If you never lift a weight, you're not going to have strength. Matter of fact, what's going to happen is you'll lose strength. You have to constantly exercise it to maintain what you have or to grow what God has given you. And the same is true with our Lord. It's all about the heart. And past that, when we know him, it is about obedience. We see that over and over and over in the scriptures that the Lord calls, and he does the same thing today. He lays something upon your heart. And Marcus this morning wanted to read. He felt like that was where the Lord prompted him. The Spirit put him to read that verse and share with you his testimony of where he's at today. And so what takes place is whether or not we're willing to step out. You know, you look through the Bible. God told Moses to go and free the people. First thing Moses could say is, I can't even talk to people. I stutter. He says, that ain't a problem. I got your brother Aaron's going to be your mouthpiece. He's going to do it all. Told Gideon, I need you to go and take the Israelite. Gideon. All of these characters in the Bible. He tells Peter, you need to go and talk to the Gentiles. Peter says, no, I'm a Jew. I don't eat any of that unclean stuff. Daily Fine tells Peter, yeah, I made everything. Nothing is unclean. Over and over again, it is about obedience and what the Holy Spirit, the Lord, gives him to prompt you and I to go do. Sometimes that's in all sorts of different ministry. We all have it. Each one of us, Marcus over here will touch people I will never meet. I will touch people or have the opportunity to that you will never meet, he will never meet. Each one of you have a sphere of people around you, whether it's loved ones, co-workers, or just by where you stay or where, whatever it is, but you have the opportunity to make an impact on people for the Lord, that you may be the only one and the only Jesus they ever meet or see. And so we have to be willing to step out. And usually that means we have to step out of our comfort zone. Now, we all don't like to get out of our comfort zone. Okay? If you tell me you like getting out of your comfort zone, I'm going to point you towards the Ten Commandments and one that says, do not lie. Okay? Because we're that way. We're creatures of habit. Well, I don't like lemon in banana pudding. I love banana pudding, but don't put no lemon in it. Have you ever tried it? You know, I remember my mama saying that. I don't think I like that. You ever tried it? Nope. Well, then try it, and then you can tell me if you like it or not. Sometimes I liked it. Sometimes I still didn't like it, okay? But it's something new. And we are opposed to that new. Lord tells us that His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But I will tell you, I've come to learn if we follow His ways and His direction, it is so much better than my ways or my thoughts. So we have this time and this period that we oftentimes are beat up. And even as someone said to me this morning, I don't know if the Lord's hearing my prayers. I assure you He hears them. But all things are in His timing. Holding your place there with 40, we'll come back. But turn back to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And notice what Isaiah writes here in verse 18. Isaiah 30, 18. He says, therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted and He may have mercy on you. For the Lord is God of justice. Blessed are all of those who wait for Him. You know, in reading that, I got to thinking about that, as each one of us should. And I begin to think in my own life, how long the Lord waited on me to say yes. For me to say, okay, not my will, but Your will. How long He waited to be in the driver's seat. You remember back when you were young and you couldn't wait to drive? And your mom drove you around or your dad drove you around. And then they started teaching you, but yet you weren't on your own. They had to be there. You couldn't wait for the point that you were cut loose and free. Now granted, some of you we wished had never gotten that driver's license, but... but you couldn't wait for that freedom. I also know that as people get older, and I know within my own family with my dad, when he had to give up that freedom. Because he'd been driving forever. And you see, our lives are kind of similar to that in that we've been used to running our own way. Not that it always turned out good, but we're used to doing it ourselves, and suddenly we have to be willing to give up what I think and ask God, what do You think? Have to wait for Him to give that answer. And sometimes, you know, especially in our world today, we are not a patient group. Okay? We are not a patient group. We want it instantaneously. We look for immediate gratification or immediate answer to whatever it is we're asking or that we want. I was at the bank the other day, and I don't know what the deal is, but they were short of tellers, and actually everybody I saw in there I knew was a banker, but one of the bankers I've known for a good while was back there working the teller. Now there's one lady there, the other three bankers are all busy with people in their office. You got one lady trying to take care of the inside and the drive-through at the same time. And it was taking a little bit, you know, and some people come in, they can't do their business fast or anything, you know, and I had somewhere else to be, and then I caught myself. I thought, you just need to take a chill pill and relax for a minute, okay? It's just where you think you need to be. Where you need to be is here. And I watched people go through the drive-thru, and I watched one individual pull up. She had finished with one, then came to, you know, she's trying to alternate between the two. And she kept apologizing, I'm sorry it's taking so long. It's okay. And you could see the pressure she was under. But I watched a guy pull up there, and as one of them left, he pulled up. And she was tending to the one inside, and she walked back over, and she said, I'll be with you in just a minute. And suddenly he just took off and sped off. You could see him just shaking his head. You know good and well what that was. I'm not waiting on this. Those of you that still drive, have the friendly highways of Texas become unfriendly? Because everybody's in too big a hurry? They'll pass you in no passing zones. They'll pass you on the right. It doesn't matter. They're in a big hurry. And what's amazing, you end up at the same red light with them. You know, I watch some of them keep dodging out so they could try to see so they can pass. And it's like, dude, if I wasn't behind somebody real slow, I'd be going faster too. You think I'm just sitting along here or what? And then they'll decide they want to make it out and get around, you know, and the more they go around one car and two cars, they find there's three more up there. And you finally find the slowpoke, you know. And he is a big, wide truck. And then you suddenly see the aha moment because those brake lights slam on. And then he's going to try to slide in, right? Amazing. For what? We are in a big hurry. Notice what it says there, and we read in 30. Two things out of it. One, God waits on us. Now, what if he was impatient? Some of you, maybe the first time that the Holy Spirit came to you to ask you to let the Lord be your Lord and Savior in your life, you said yes. And bully for you. Because that means you're part of the intelligent group. The rest of us dummies waited a while. And we'd always find an excuse. So what if he got tired of waiting on me and you? And said, you know what? I'm not wasting my time. Too many others to get to. And we got left high and dry. But it says that the Lord waits on you and I. And notice the last part of that verse. He waits to do what? Blessed are those. He waits to show you and I mercy rather than true justice. And it says, blessed are those who wait on him. For you see, his ways are always right if we will be patient and wait for him to touch us and give us the direction. Back to 40 for a moment. He says here that he is the creator of all of the earth, and he never faints nor is weary. That's two different things. One, he never gets tired. But the second part of it, he never is weary. God doesn't get tired of waiting on you and I. That's where it ties back to 30:18. He's always open to give you and I that opportunity to know and come to him and have a relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. He never gets weary of hearing our prayer requests. You ever been around them people? Every time you see them coming, it's, oh no, what do they want now? I sure am glad the Lord don't get tired and being weary of me coming before him. Some folks say, well, why do you take time in your church? You know, it makes it go a little long to have praise and prayer. Well, you sure don't worry about, you know, are concerned about bringing praise or prayers to him. Why should we not take the time to praise him for the answers? There's not a single one of us in here, we do something for somebody. We may not expect pay, but we at least expect somebody to go, thank you. Whose image are we made in? His. So therefore, our desire to hear thank you came from him. He looks to be thanked for the blessings we bestow upon him. More than anything else, we thank him that he made a way for us to be redeemed in order to have a relationship with him. So he never grows weary of our complaining, of our prayers, or anything else. You know, one of the biggest ones is, well, Lord, I just don't understand. I'll be real honest. Out of the people that work for me, if I keep hearing that, I'm going to finally say, you don't have to understand. You weren't hired to be the boss. You were hired to go do what you're told to do. So quit complaining and go away. But God never does that with us. You're right. Thank goodness. And so my prayer as I have people underneath me is, I pray, Lord, give me your patience to not grow weary with people. Because you see, in each and every one of them, God has got a plan for their life. They just hadn't arrived yet. They've not yet come to that point. And if He can't be weary with us, why should we be weary with those folks? He then comes before her. He says, He is neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. It don't take long to read the scriptures and realize He's a whole lot smarter than me and you. Unsearchable. Well, the first one I can think of right off the bat, He created everything. Why does He put up with our disobedience? Just wipe us out and create some that won't be messed up. But yet He's not weary. He is unsearchable. You know, we bring issues and we think, well, you know, I think maybe, Lord, this is, you know, kind of conversation with Him because He ought to be your best friend. Lord, probably the best way to handle this is this. And then He comes up with a total different plan. You go, wow, I never thought about that. I'd have never done it that way. That's why He's God and you are you and I am me, okay? Because His thoughts are not ours and His ways are not ours. He is unsearchable in that. Everything that you and I have, you know, if I was smart enough to be able to memorize every bit of Scripture, somewhere in Scripture there's already an answer for the problem you and I have. Every bit of it. From finances to relationships to what to eat, what not to eat. All of those things are right here in His Scripture. And He gives us that to let us know His character of being unsearchable in His understanding and wisdom. Verse 29 says, He gives power to the weak. Oh, how true that is. You know, when I was younger and growing up, and your daddy probably, if you had a dad like mine, told you, son, the only one you can trust is you. I come to find out that was not true. The only one I can trust is Him. When my dad renewed his faith, he come back one day and he said, told you a long time ago, the only one you can trust is you. He said, I was wrong. He said, you trust Him. I said, yeah, Dad, I kind of figured that one out. Not that I do it all the time, but me and you are in the same boat. We know where it should be. He comes and He says, He gives power to the weak. And I, like Paul, would say, then, you know, I glory in my infirmities. I glory in my weakness because if I get out of the way, God can shine through. And that's really it. You ever notice about our problems? We go along there, and it's like we put God in that little box up there that says break glass in case of emergency, right? And so we go through and we do about 90% of it, and then we kind of get tired. Man, I'm kind of tired of this. I've been working on this project, whatever it is, for so long. Lord, why don't you just take over and finish it out? You know, and I figured out, you know, that's got to be a slap in God's face. And His Spirit reaches out sometimes to me and said, well, if you'd asked me in the first place, this had already been done. But you thought you knew better. So what is it? Lord, why don't you take over and finish it out? It's reserving back that if He doesn't, we will. I mean, now come on, folks. I understand He is God. But I also understand that He wanted a relationship with me. And so I ought to be able to freely talk to Him. And He ought to be able to freely talk to me. Just like I would one of you. I want you to think about that for a minute. If I told you, you know, hey, I've been working on this, But now, I want you, Preston, I want you to come finish it. You know, Preston says, well, why didn't you call me before you tore everything apart? I remember that. You know, my dad, I'd have something. And I, you know, he was mechanical. I'd watch him, so I was young. So I'd take all of the parts off. And then I'd go, I can't put it back together. He said, why didn't you come to me when you took it apart? Well, Dad, you can fix anything. Yeah, if you hadn't lost half the parts. But that's really what we do to our Heavenly Father. I've took it all apart. I've lost some of the parts, but you fix it, Daddy. What would your patience be? When you start thinking of it in that aspect of our realm, I am so glad that He waits to give us mercy. And that's what He does. He gives us mercy. That in spite of ourselves, in spite of how we treat Him or act, and in what Marcus read there from Paul a while ago, you notice he says, what, have you gotten arrogant in yourself? And the answer is, yeah, we do. I get arrogant with my daddy who gave his only son that I might call him my daddy. I don't know of anything more ungrateful. And you see, yet he thinks enough of me to come and say, hey, I got a job for you over here. And then I'm reluctant or hesitant to step out and say, Lord, whatever it is, here am I. You know what my weaknesses are. You know what gifts you've given me. So if you want this done, you got to supply it all. You see, in weakness, he shows his strength. He says he gives in 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So when you and I, next time we get in a big impatient deal, if we wait just a little bit on him to act, he will well surpass our knowledge, our strength, or anything else. What could ultimately be a train wreck, he'll turn into a field of beauty instead of a crash. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Most all of people in here, not everybody, but most of us got a little gray coming in our hair, and we think, add him young pups. I mean, I'll admit it. I'll do it. Yo, Jacob, come over here and get this. That way I don't have to bend down so low. I don't have to, whatever it is. You're young, you can handle it. Here, I need this hole dug. Good education for you. Builds character. Yeah, I remember my daddy saying that too. And then he goes out there to deal in this good old granite land that we have and starts sweating. He goes, I'm just trying. Boy, you ain't done yet. Why'd you stop? I'm just taking a breather, okay? I'm taking a breather. Even the young begin to faint. He continues on and he says, they faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, I know he was talking kind of physical there for a minute, but I begin to think about that verse. See, if we don't train our children and our grandchildren, and Scripture's always that way. It may give us a physical analogy, but God is more interested in the spiritual. If we don't teach them and mentor them in God's Word, the young will fall. That's right. We see that more and more in our world today. I said we're seeing a renewing. You know, the biggest thing that I still find is what people are looking for is a solid foundation. They're looking for the truth. And through our desire not to offend anybody and to be diverse, we've taken the true foundation and the truth away from our kids. most of you in here and me, when we went to school, the morning started out with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and prayer and a scripture reading. You think about the change. The lack of patriotism. The lack of morals. The lack of even understanding there is something bigger than us. That there is even a God. And you look at our world and we wonder what happened. What happened is we didn't teach. And our young are falling. They're falling looking for an answer with something else, whether it's alcohol, drugs. Some of them get wrapped up into sex slavery and all these different things. Our moral statue of our nation has degraded. Hurts to say that, but it's true. For you see, when you have no morals and based in God's word, that means everything is based in the evil. We listen to the lies of the devil. So the young will fall. It is our job, and God commands us in the book of Deuteronomy, to teach our children, to be the example not only in word but also in deed. Then he comes to 31, a very familiar verse. He says, but those who wait on the Lord. The wait to act, the wait to make that decision, but also not only that waiting, but to be obedient when that call comes. To step out on faith. It took a lot for Marcus to step out in front of you today. So let me ask it. Let me do it this way for you. If God prompted you to get up here and read a scripture or give a testimony, would you have got up here and done it? Now see, most of y'all can say, well, yeah, I know everybody. A young man don't know anybody in here. Except the folks he come with. He could just easily read it to them. But he read it to all of you. It took a lot for him. You're his mom, right?
Yes. I'm his mother.
Yeah. It took a lot for him to come back and talk to me and ask if he could even do it. See, God puts things on our heart, and we got to be willing to step out. And I put it point blank, to keep others from falling. And you're prompted, maybe, if it's nothing more than to give a smile, or maybe tell that cashier, thank you, have a blessed day. You'd be surprised what happens using that word blessed. Talk about throwing a window open for a conversation. Now I'm going to tell you, don't be in a hurry, you better get ready. You throw it up, and then people ask, what do you mean, have a blessed day? Ooh. Somebody opened the gate. And I'm just wild enough to run through the gate. Now we're going to talk. I want you to know about my Jesus and how blessed your life can be. Because he's without a doubt blessed mine. You see, when we take it to that respect of waiting on the Lord because it's eternal consequences. I know everybody gets worked up. Well, I don't know. I know the right thing to say. Again, wait upon him. He will direct your mouth. And he'll tell you when to shut it. But he'll also give you the right words to say. You don't have to be scripture knowledgeable, that you got them memorized and know every chapter and verse. He's going to let it you tell it in your way, but he will give you the words to say. Even when you think you don't know the right words, he'll give you the right words. Then you'll walk away and go, man, who was that talking? Because it wasn't me. I don't know. I ain't that smart. But he does it time and time again. It says, those who wait upon the Lord. here in 31, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Now, we're blessed around here. Most of you had the opportunity to see it. If you haven't, I hope that you do at some point in your life to watch an eagle soar. You know, when the rapture comes, I got my own vision. I already told you all that. I'm kind of weird sometimes, but I visualize. And it says that we will go up. I see just like big old eagle wings spreading out and soaring up like a rocket. I don't have to have Elon tell me if it crashes and burns, because I know I won't. Okay? But those wings that you see, the span of an eagle, full-grown eagle, they're massive. Have you ever noticed they glide for hours and just keep gliding, riding the currents? And you see, that's what God does for us. We ride His current. And He renews our strength when we get weary. He says, He shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That means we shall run the course, as Paul talks about again. He says, I continue to run the race for the goal. At some point you get tired of that race, not when you're running His race. You think and you look, Jesus was our example. How many times He had so many people, the throngs there, and come to Him, and even when He tried to take a nap on a boat just for a little bit, here His disciples wake Him up, and the first thing they say is, Lord, don't You really care if we're all going to die? He stands up. He says, you have little faith. And He calms the winds, even with His voice. You see, Peter tells us He has given us a spirit of victory. And that's where we first get defeated. We don't claim that spirit of victory that Jesus Christ gives us. We have all of His power. If we simply acknowledge it and let Him work through our weakness, we have His power. The devil has to flee in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you waiting for a renewal? It starts with you. It starts with you stepping out with that faith and saying, Lord, I gave my life to